that he is our Redeemer and he is our friend. I appreciate that. We can rest in that, and that's a blessing. I have to admit that today seems just a bit different, and because of what happened yesterday. And I don't know if it's maybe because we get pretty attached to the things that are around us. And I had to look at my own life and look at how important the things that are around us and how we view those things when they're gone and how we can accept that. But we know that God is good. Our earthly things are temporal. There's other things that are much more important. And those are some of the things that we'd like to talk about today. I would like to spend a little bit of talking a little bit later about our response to when things are difficult for us. The last number of years I have been speaking, I say the last number, maybe 2 to 3 years, been going through the book of Acts and preaching at Arlington. And then there's one theme that kind of keeps coming back at me just time and time again is Paul's desire more than anything else is to share the gospel with whoever will listen. And that is so, it should be so much an important part of our lives. And I appreciated the chance to be here at a presentation about Hands of Christ. I appreciate that ministry. I think it was, I'm not sure how many years ago, I'm sure you, most of you would know, but I think I was here at the service when it was announced what the name of the organization would be. Was a time that I preached here as well, and I can't tell you how long ago that was. But I enjoy seeing the work that is being done there, and I wish God's blessings for you on that, because I think that as we meet the needs of those in a physical sense, there is no better way that we can minister to people on the spiritual side. But we can't keep quiet about that. We need to share the story. And the title of my sermon today is, Do You Have a Story to Tell? The story you tell may be your conversion experience. It may be showing how you live. It may be the story of your life. It may be just by the way you live, maybe a story to tell to show someone about the love of God. You can share your story in many different ways. But the question is, are you willing to share? When God gives you that opportunity to share the gospel, to share your life story, do you take advantage of that? Paul, many times we'll be looking at that here in Acts 21, but Paul was always looking for opportunity to share the gospel. He was not one to be quiet. He wouldn't quit. If he had an opportunity to share even with those in authority, he would not sure if I should say anything. But he was right there, willing to tell his story, willing to share his testimony and the things that were important to him. Talk about his conversion experience. One of the most powerful things that we can do is share our personal experience. Because God changes us. It's not we that change ourselves. It's God's work in us. But it's not only when we are given the opportunity to share our story, but do we look for opportunities, even when that door is barely open. Maybe it's not open at all. Maybe we have to be the first one to speak. I have to admit, in my shop, I don't get a lot of customers coming in there, but I have customers occasionally that come in, and they are there very little, but they are talking or mentioning about God and God in their life. I have the district sales manager for my territory. I can rarely talk with him on the phone. He's from Alabama, but I can rarely talk to him on the phone that he doesn't in some way or another talk about God and the important part he plays in their lives and the direction that he seeks from God. It's not that he instigated, but he does. I found that challenging. But he's got a story to tell. Do we have that story to tell. I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 21. I'm going to start here a little bit and see a little bit how Paul, though he was facing difficult times, though he was facing persecution, things were very real and people were trying to kill him, and seemed like every which way he turned, but he was not ready to quit. He was wanting to share his story just one more time. And even when he was in prison, he had chains around him. He was looking for people to share the gospel too. And I find that a challenge. And as we as a church, as a body, as we work together, as we minister to those around us, we need to do it not only individually and collectively, but it takes a personal responsibility to share the gospel, because the way we share is often how our churches are viewed. And so how you respond, as you respond to an individual's needs, as you share the gospel, they is also a little bit how they view the church. I'd like to start reading in verse 30 of Acts 21, and then reading on into chapter 22, part of the first part of that chapter. Acts 21:30, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And they went about to kill him. Tidings came into the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne on the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him!" And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" But Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a city of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." Here he is, looking for the chance. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And I answered, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said unto me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest.' And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said unto me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do.' And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, 'Brother Saul, receive thy sight.' And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I think that's as far as I'll read right now. But we see here that Paul's situation, his life was at stake. He was being persecuted for speaking the gospel. But what does he ask for? He asked for silence so he could share his testimony one more time. Not to give himself a lot of attention, bring glory to himself, but he wanted to share what God had done for him. A beautiful thing, how God had changed his life. He was a man who earlier had been on a mission. He was on the way to Damascus to find more people to take back to Jerusalem to persecute. Who would have thought that Paul would have been a good candidate to witness to, or that would make a good Christian? You know, sometimes I think we tend to put people in a box and say, you know, they would make a good Christian, or maybe I should talk to them because it would be safe to talk to them about Christianity. Or at least I find that with myself. But we don't know why God's working in the lives of every individual. Let us not put people into boxes and say they would be a good Christian. But all should come to repentance and know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. A beautiful thing. One of the things that continues to amaze me, I mentioned this earlier, is how he gave everything he had for what he was doing. Now, we know that when he was persecuting the Christians, he was doing so, I think, with everything he had, with the mind he was doing the right things, until God shone that light to him and shown him how he could be his vessel in his hands. And Paul had a story to tell. He rehearsed it numerous times. I think we find his story of his conversion three times in the book of Acts. When was the last time you shared your story with someone? It may not be their conversion story. It may be something else that the Lord has been working in your life, has been speaking to you. Were you quiet? Or did you have that story to tell to bring God glory and honor? Do we freely share? Do we take those opportunities? Even as you're helping, may I say, with the hands of Christ, as you're there cleaning up that yard, as you're there picking up the trash, hauling out goods into the dumpster, putting that roof on the house, whatever it is, do you also look for opportunities to share why you are there and why you are doing it on a volunteer basis? Can they feel that love? A perfect avenue to give that, because they see that it's not just what you say, but it's also what you do. We are Christians that are not Christians that speak the words of Christ, but we should be Christians that do the work of Christ, and they go hand in hand. There's also one aspect that I think of when I see the conversion of Saul there are several things I noticed. One is that there were other people with him, though they didn't see the light. I'm not sure what happened to them. The Lord also spoke to them. But there is one person in this story that each of us have an opportunity to fulfill, and that is the part of Ananias. I'd like to talk about him just a bit Ananias says he was a devout man. He was one who was willing, I'm going to say, to risk his life to speak to a man who is probably the most feared persecutor in the church. And God spoke to him and says, why don't you go down to that street and go talk to this man? And Ananias says, Lord, but this man is a fearful man. Chapter 9, it expresses some of his fears. It says, knowing that you are, you know, he is one of the most feared persecutors, are you sure you want me to go? The Lord said, yeah. He said, I want you to go. I want you to be involved in this man's life. He is a chosen vessel for me, and he's going to share my gospel to many people, but I want you to be a part of that. So Ananias went. He says, verse 17 of chapter 9, it says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him. Remember, he was blind. And he says, Brother Saul. Isn't that beautiful? A man who was a devout man, who was willing to do what God followed him to, encourage a man, who I'm going to say was new in the faith, to get down there in the trenches with him and say, Brother Saul, bless the work that God is doing in you. And he goes on into, and I believe he spent time with them teaching and training him. And you know what? There can be many Ananiases here today. It can be women. It can be men. It can be youth on both sides. There can be that youngster who needs somebody to be an encouragement to them. It may be men or ladies taking youth group members out for a meal and say, I care about your spiritual life. Thank you for who you are. How can I encourage you to be more? You know, what's happening in your life? I care about where you're at. You know, those are some good times as we can relate to them. You have an opportunity to be an Ananias. Every time that Paul recounted his salvation experience, he always mentioned Ananias. You can be that Ananias to someone else. You know, there are risks in spending that time one-on-one. How are you going to talk? What are you going to say? How can you encourage? You know, but I believe that if your intentions are what they should be, I believe that can be such a strengthening factor in the church. And everyone here can be involved. Do you have a story to tell? Maybe it might be sharing as an older person. Maybe you share your experience of 30, 40, 50 years ago when you became a Christian. Maybe it's taking out that person that's in instruction class and just sharing them how you became a Christian and how you remember that time. Do you have that story to tell? Is it real in your life? Can they see the enthusiasm you have for the love of the Lord, the love of the church, and for the love of each soul that's here? Brother Saul, he counted him as one of his. I think even in that, I see a level of forgiveness. I don't know what you see in that. But I see an Ananias who is believing in Saul that, yes, I forgive you for how you have persecuted the Christians. I believe that you are going to be a vessel for God and in God's hand. And I forgive. Forgiveness is a very real part of that. We do recognize that Paul had an important part to play in that as well. Ananias could only help Paul. as much as Paul wanted help. But Paul was a broken man. He was a man who was humbled. He was a man who came to the end of himself and realized that he was mistaken on what he was doing. And he wanted to serve the Lord. And that's so true that as we are needy people, we can only be helped, encouraged, as much as we're willing to have other people be a part of our lives. We have to accept that. That is a real part of that. As I think back in my younger years, I wasn't always quite as willing to have that input. But I think that limits my growth, the encouragement I can receive. Can you be that Ananias in the lives of those who are younger than you? Do we look for opportunities? Do we make ourselves available when God opens the door? Do we say, don't have time? Or why couldn't this come at an easier time? But do we look for opportunities? Is it a priority in our life? Paul was looking for opportunities. I mean, you go through the book of Acts, and I just love how he's always looking. He's in jail, he's bound, but who's he speaking to? The jailer, or he's in shackles. He's singing. He's trying to, whoever he can give a chance to share the gospel with, he's right there. Sharing the gospel, looking for that. And we say, yeah, but Paul, I'm not who Paul is. But I look at the Paul who was, you know, as he was transformed, as he was changed, I look at how he was persecuted, and there was times that he was beaten and was taken up for dead. And yet that same day, he would be sharing the gospel with one more person. He was taken out of the city for half dead, beaten. But he got up and shared the good news one more time. In 2 Corinthians 11, we have just a brief picture of what he was willing to go through. You know, this salvation experience was real. It went to his very depths. And we see how that Paul lived. It wasn't the temporal things that were of importance. Yeah, he was a tent maker by trade, but that was not his focus. The focus was on meeting the needs. But in 2 Corinthians 11, there's about 8 verses here. And I think we see a little bit of glimpse of the heart of Paul. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with robs, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, in night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." See what his love is at? It's not what he was tortured with or difficult times. But his care of the churches. Who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. You know, he was one who faced all these external things, but they didn't slow him down of sharing the gospel. An incredible man. And we know he had, and toward the end, I'm not sure which chapter it was anymore, he had the shipwreck, and how that you know, they first didn't listen to him, and finally they seen that this man was connected with somebody of greater power, and they listened. And that ship was broken to many pieces, their lives were saved. And I think it's true that there are some times that God gives us pieces to save us. And if you understand the shipwreck, the ship was broken in so many pieces, but those same boards were what saved the people. They were able to use those boards to get to land. And there are times when our life seems to be broken and in many pieces. But God can put them back together again. He can pull us together, and he can show us the way to cling to him, that we can be what we should be. Reading on into the next chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says in Paul's testimony, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Even though this man was sold out for Christ, there was one thing that he wanted to get rid of. It was that infirmity, that thing, that thorn in the flesh. And even as people of God, as we're sold out to Christ, there can things come upon us that are very difficult. And sometimes we question, why did this happen? Why was that person taken from this earth? Why did that person die? Why did that house burn? Why does God want to give us some of those difficult things? And I look at Paul as saying, you know, this thing isn't really what I like, but Lord, if it makes me more who I should be, I want to be there. I want to accept that. I've asked three times, you said no. Okay, Lord. Are we ready to hear God's voice and to accept what he has? But I like his attitude. But, you know, it's so easy to say, yeah, but Paul, you had those attitudes, that's good. But when it hit home, it is a little more difficult. When we think about sharing the gospel, about our story to tell, you know, sometimes we like to just think about being the Good Samaritan. Or we think of the story about the Good Samaritan. We think about the priest and the Levite who came that way but passed by on the other side. Surely someone else will speak the good news. Somebody else will risk being involved. And here's, I guess, the thing that spoke to me. This feels pretty personal in some ways, but I'd like to share it. This is where I was at in my studies when I found out about the fire yesterday. And I had to think of the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, we like to think that somebody else can do our job. Well, my first thought was, well, Center will take good care of Dwight's. They'll make sure things happen. And then I began to realize, you know what, there's something pretty wrong with that idea. That may be a true statement. I think it is. But that was my initial thought. But the second thought that came to me, but what is my responsibility? What should I be doing? You know, I'd like to shift just a little bit at, I've been talking about spiritual, how do we have the story to tell? But I'd like to just talk a little bit about some of the things that you face as a church, as a family. And I talk about as a larger church family. In dealing with the fire and how we can help. And, you know, we don't have to do the great things, but there's lots of little things to do. Can we be involved and not be like the priest and Levite that let somebody else take care of that? And I admit in all of this, and I addressed this issue earlier, it's sometimes difficult to accept what people have to give. And I appreciate Dwight's words this morning. But I think as we are givers, then let's also remember that sometimes it's easy to accept some of those gifts. At the ministers' meetings in Illinois this last spring, we stayed at a cousin of Arlene's who, he was a minister, he's a couple years younger than I am. They're Amish, he's a couple years younger than I am. 7-8 years ago, they lost their house to a fire. And one of the things that I was just blessed with in that situation is the community came together. They didn't lose everything. They pretty well lost everything. The foundation was able to be reused. But I was impressed with the fact of their attitude toward God and their attitude toward community and church. One of the things that they wanted to do and they were anxious to do was bring around the photo album that showed of what happened. And it felt like this was one of the healing process of sharing of what they went through and also a blessing of knowing what the community did for them. Now I recognize that I think it'd be a good idea for Dwight's to do something like that, but I also recognize maybe they don't have a camera and maybe that needs to get furnished. But there are those things that need to be healed. What is community for? Is to help in time of needs. It's not sitting back and letting things happen, but it's being involved. It's being there to tell our story. It's being there to not only tell our spiritual journey, but also to, out of the love that God has done for us, is to use our hands and to share with love, whether it's the person, the lowly, in the streets of Hutchison, or if it's somebody that fills our pews with us. And I trust that as the Lord gives us wisdom, as the Lord gives the leaders here in your various committees wisdom in knowing how to best proceed, I just pray that the Lord will bless you as you seek those right avenues. But let's not forget that some of those things are temporal. It can be a means of encouragement for spiritual growth, but let's tell the story to whoever we come in contact with. Let us show the love. Let's have it in our hearts so that it's there coming out. And may the Lord bless you as you do that. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, you've saved us. You've given us salvation. You've given us opportunities to know you and to love you. And Lord, I just pray that we could do that with our whole heart.
that we could be your hands to the people around us, that we could speak your word, that many could come to know you. Just pray that you would be with the church here. May you just guide and bless them through the coming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.